Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. It is time. Mm-hmm. It is time for the citizenship game. Oh my goodness. You know, we've been doing this. There's several questions and 100 questions actually for the U.S. citizenship test. And this is the test you have to take to become an American citizen. We're finding out as we are giving it to ourselves that we might not know these questions, answer these questions. And it's so important. I mean, how can we hold people to accountable to what we don't even know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear people thinking, hey, you know, I want to be able to be an American citizen, ask them these questions, you know. And I truly believe, you know, talk to your congressman, talk to your senator and ask them, could you pass this test? Could your staff pass this test? And do you bear fruit in keeping with these answers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so important because we got to get back to the original intent. There's something going on, and the supreme law of the land is the U.S. Constitution, and we have to know this. And so we have a lot of fun with it, and but it's just like it's big too. It's like, my goodness, we're learning. We're kind of using each question for a teachable moment if it is. But here we are, the U.S. citizenship test, 5 questions for today, and I'm going to ask first Pat a question, then I'm going to ask John a question. And you got to make sure now that you, when you say you're ready to give the answer, that is your final answer. And of course, if you get it right, everybody is going to celebrate it. And if you get it wrong, here's the first question. First question is going to Pat. Question on the U.S. citizenship test. If both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president? If the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes the president? That was quick. Oh my goodness. This study is doing good, isn't it? It's like, man, it's making us pretty pay close attention. So here's the question. For citizenship, so you don't have to self-deport, according to the GOP, if both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, Pat, who becomes the president?
And that would be the Speaker of the House.
Oh my goodness. Whoa. That's good. Oh, wow. Totally, totally good. That's so important because, you know, the Speaker of the House right now, okay, this is the next part. Who's the Speaker of the House?
Boehner.
Very good. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. Who's your senator?
Right? Mark Rubio. The,
wow,
he's
good.
He's
Googled
up. Google that, man.
And that means then John Boehner is third in line for the presidency of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It means that, who was the Speaker of the House before John Boehner?
Nancy Pelosi
was third in line for the president of the United States. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, when, you know, not staying on top of this, I don't even know, remember being taught this in school, but when you're watching politicians, sometimes you have a tendency to bring them all into one category, not realizing, well, no, this particular group of politicians are representing one branch of government. And this particular politician is using another branch of government. And, you know what I'm saying? You got to see them differently because they're different. And it looked in history quite often, you would say, you know, what are you doing? You know, Congress, you're just messing things up. You know, the House of Representatives, why you're bringing all this not knowing, that's what you start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just putting a stick in my wheel. You know, you're breaking one of my spokes. You're causing it. You know, the thing is, no, they're representing their districts.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to listen to the House of Representatives. And this is how important the House of Representatives are, is whoever they choose to be the leader. And what happens is you have Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Hopefully, you know, that we'll have more parties in the future because the two-party mm-hmm. system will be part of the stake that's driven into the heart of this nation and will kill it. But, and what they do is whoever has, if they're the majority of Democrats, or if there's a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives, they'll be the ones in charge. Mm-hmm. They'll be in charge, and they themselves choose a speaker from, I think, seniority pretty much is how they do it. But they can unchoose them too. Mm-hmm. They can fire a speaker and switch to somebody else. And so this is a very important body. You know, Congress is very important, even so much so that the Speaker of the House, so whoever the majority is in Congress, in the House of Representatives, they will actually choose a speaker, but what they're really choosing is the third in line for presidency.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important because, think about it, it's just, you know, two heartbeats away, but you have the president, the vice president, and then you actually have the speaker, and it changes. I mean, if anything would have happened, we said before, you know, prior to when Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House, she would have been the first female president.
And now, President Nancy Pelosi. Understanding that is just like we need to pay attention because they're picking third in line for presidency when they're picking the Speaker of the House.
Huge.
The third in line for presidency. So it's pretty relevant. So we want to remember that when you're thinking about the House of Representatives, not Senate, but when you're thinking about the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. Congress is both the House of Representatives and the Senate. But when you talk about them individually, it'd be the Senate and it would be the House of Representatives. So now here is question number two. And this question is going to go to John. John, here's the question on the U.S. citizenship test, and Immigration Services, by the way, gives it, is important so that you don't have to self-deport, as we're talking about. Cool. Who is, think about this, who is the commander-in-chief of the military? Who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military? Oh, here it is. For the citizenship test, your next particular question is, who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military?
What is the president of the United States?
Hey, you got it. Very good. So that means that President Obama is over the U.S. military. This is why when I said it concerns me that when the president says we want to have so many spies now, in the Pentagon that dwarfs, a different word than he used, dwarfs CIA and the number of spies they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're saying is that I want to be the commander-in-chief of a whole bunch of spies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Congress is over the CIA, but the president is commander-in-chief over the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting that kind of power under one branch versus one person,
mm-hmm.
versus Ooh. All these different people in Congress. Sure. They have all these different voices that kind of help bring, you know, balance. It's supposed to be difficult to be able to maneuver this country. It's designed that it's a long, tedious process. So somebody says, we just need to push something through. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not designed that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and things that have been pushed through, we always end up regretting, such as the healthcare bill. They read it and it didn't read it.
Didn't.
But they voted it, exactly. And they openly said we didn't read it, which means they violated their very oath of office
mm-hmm.
To be able to do that. And so when you're talking about the commander-in-chief of U.S. forces, so when you hear something such as two military men have been killed, along with the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi, it's right to question the president, the commander-in-chief of the military. Why did this happen? How come there wasn't any protection for him there? And I mean, it's 9/11, dear God, mm-hmm. it's 9/11. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the day that you would have somebody there. So you don't go to Congress and find out why don't they have somebody there. You go to the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military and you ask him, you know, why wasn't there military support right there? Congress would ask the Secretary of State, who's over that as well, and she would have to report to Congress themselves because those cabinet offices, I won't say too much because I'll give away the test. In the context of that. So the president is commander-in-chief over the U.S. military, and so he has direct implementation of his desires over the forces. That's why he says, I'm going to bring some troops home from Iraq mm-hmm. or from Afghanistan, or I'm not. And he can't blame it on anybody if he's the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one responsible for that. Okay, the next question goes to Pat. for the U.S. citizenship test, who signs bills? Who signs bills to become laws? All right.
Okay.
Pat. For the next question, here it is. Mm-hmm. Who signs bills to become laws?
The president.
Yay! Yay! Very, very good. It's interesting as we're talking about, it almost seems like today that we're seeing the president, the executive branch, create laws called policies, and he signs them, and nobody else had anything. One man's creating these, they don't call them laws, they call them regulations that actually have, you know, consequences, financial consequences and freedom consequences and property consequences for Americans. But Congress is supposed to make the laws, and the executive branch, the president, is supposed to sign the laws. And when he signs the law, that they become in power, they become, you know, an act of, it goes from a bill to a law. You know, of course, a bill is just that, is an, it's a people starts off and you say, you know, I'd like to be able to have a park, a federal park in our state. They put it together. They present it to Congress. Congress sets up committees. They talk about it, you know, whatever. They listen to citizens about it. And they decide, hey, we're going to make this a bill. We're going to make a bill for a park in their state. And so they put it together and they vote on it. And all of the House representatives majority says, yeah, this is, we want a park in, you know, whatever state, New Jersey or whatever you're in. Then it goes to the Senate and it starts all over again. And the Senate takes it to committees and they begin to discuss it. And they want to bring in citizens and they can totally not vote for it or vote for it. And then they actually say they get together and they vote, a majority of the senators vote for the bill, but it's still a bill. And once it goes to the president, that's when it moves from a bill to a law. When he signs it, which is very, very important. John, here's the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. Who vetoes bills? Who vetoes bills? Well, that's great. Here you go. The citizenship test, John. To prevent self-deportation, who vetoes bills?
That would be the president.
Yeah, the president, exactly. Which is pretty powerful when you think about it. You know, when you hear that all of the House representatives got together through committees and they put together all these desires and this bill together, they voted, a majority voted for it. Then it goes to the Senate, and the Senate does the very same thing. They get their committees, they go through it, they all vote for it, and that there's such equal powers between the executive branch and the legislature branch that one man, the president of the United States, can decide that it's not what he wants or he thinks his constituents wants, and he can actually veto it and say, nope, I'm not going to make it a law. That's the power of the executive branch.
Wow.
But what's more powerful than that is an executive branch that makes all these regulations that are just like laws, and everybody brings Congress into it. And we don't want that. We want the government that's been set up by our founding fathers, and that's what the Constitution does. It sets up the government, its powers, limited powers, and all that. And that we want a large group of Americans that are diverse, that are together thinking this thing through, and we want them to struggle. We don't want one man. We don't want a king. We want a president and a legislative branch and a judiciary branch like we have. And also, there's one trivial thing here as well that. The president, if the president doesn't want to veto it, he doesn't want that on his record where he vetoed or stopped something, how many days, this is not one of the questions on the test, so either one of you guys can answer this, how many days, I mean, how can that bill become a law without the president signing it into law or the president vetoing and stopping? How can it become a law? Buzz in at any time. that you buzzing in, John?
No, that's not me buzzing.
Was that you buzzing in, Pat?
That wasn't me.
That he just lets it stay on his desk for like 10 days. If it stays on his desk for 10 days and he doesn't do anything, it automatically becomes a law. Isn't that amazing?
Interesting.
Yeah, so he doesn't have this veto thing on him. He didn't sign it into law, but it automatically becomes a law.
Mm.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Pretty interesting. Wow.
Pretty powerful office then. Here's the last question. The last question's going to...
me.
Me being Pat. Okay, here's the question. The final question for today on the citizenship test is, what does the president's cabinet do? What does the president's cabinet do? Oh, this is wonderful. Here we are. The last question for today on the citizenship test for Pat, so you don't have to self-deport, is what does the president's cabinet do?
They give him advice.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Yes, yes. They advise the president. And there's a wisdom in a multitude of counsel, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his choices, a particular president's choice of who they're going to surround themselves with is important, because that's where they're going to get advice. No particular one man knows everything, and so they're going to bring these people who have expertise in these different areas, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
that are going to advise you. And because ultimately, you as the president have to make a choice and a decision. The buck stops with you. At least it did with Harry Truman.
Right.
It stops with everybody but you, with some particular presidents. But so that's it. The this totally ends today's citizenship test. You've been listening to us attempt to learn and to grow and say, you know what, we need to learn these things. If we haven't learned them, if we have learned them and forgot them, we need to know what the original intent was for our country and what citizens or people who are actually immigrants who are desiring to be citizens, what they have to do. Well, it is time for the citizenship test. Woo! Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad that we got a chance to take it. Okay. All right. It is time for the citizenship test, and we are about to find out for the next 5 questions on the United States citizenship test to John and Pat. These are questions you have to answer correctly to be able to be a citizen of the United States. We're going to go quickly in. Here's the first question coming up. It's going to be coming to John. John, here's the first question. The first question is, don't forget, you have to tell me you're ready to give me an answer, because that's your final answer. That's your final answer. Here's the first question off the citizenship test. And everybody listen up. We can learn. I'm learning too. I'm learning that they don't know many of these answers. No, I'm learning too. Here's the first question. The first question is, out of 5 today, is what are 2 cabinet level positions? What are 2 cabinet level positions? Here's the question. What are 2 cabinet level positions? And realize now, we learned on our last part of this test was the cabinet people are advisors to our president. So we're going to find out, what are 2 cabinet level positions? What are 2 cabinet level positions, John?
Well, defense secretary and the secretary of state.
Hey!
There you go.
Look at that.
Let me crank off a few real quick. Like, a Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Education, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, that you hear about, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of State, Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of Treasurer, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Attorney General, and Vice President. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Wow. All these different advisors to be able to help our president do the job that he or she needs to do.
Very good.
Number two for the day. The question is on the citizenship test, what does the judiciary branch do? What does the judiciary branch do? Okay, here we are. This is the question for the citizenship test. What does the three branches of government, right? Mm-hmm. Judiciary, legislature, and executive. So this is a judiciary branch. What does the judiciary branch do, Pat?
I believe they make sure things are constitutional or not.
It's very good. It's very good. They review the laws. They explain the laws, they resolve disputes or disagreements in the laws, and they decide if a law goes against the Constitution. That's why you hear people say that they should not be making laws from the judge's bench. You hear people say they're actually making laws by a court somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're not supposed to make laws, they're supposed to interpret them, find out if it's constitutional, explain them to work out disputes between the law. But it's the Congress, it's the legislative branch that makes the laws. Mm-hmm. But we have people in the first different districts in America that are literally making law from the bench.
Legislating from the bench.
And that's against, now we know, that's against the Constitution. John, next question for today is, what is the highest court in the United States? What is the highest court in the United States? Okay, here it is. This question is, what is the highest court in the United States?
Alex, I'm feeling good today. What is the Supreme Court for 200?
Very good. Woo! That was very good. Oh, my goodness. We're on like a time crunch right here, but listen.
Confident.
Pat, here it is. Today's next question on the U.S. citizenship. Y'all are doing good today. Y'all might be able to stay. Unpack your bags. No self-deportation. How many justices are on the Supreme Court? Pat, how many justices are on the Supreme Court? All right. This one for the money. How many justices are on the Supreme Court?
There are 9.
Amazing. There are 8 associate judges and 1 chief judge. 8 associate judges and one chief judge. So there's a total of 9.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely correct. It's very important not to have an even number, right?
That's all right.
If it's an even number, we'll get nowhere, right?
That's right.
And here is the last question. The last question today for the citizenship test goes to John. John, who is the Chief Justice of the United States? Who is the Chief Justice of the United States? Okay, here it is. Wow. The final question for today and for your U.S. citizenship. Who is the Chief Justice of the United States?
It'd be John Roberts.
Oh, my goodness.
Impressive.
Very, very good. And just a little trivial point here before we go. John Roberts was the deciding vote for the health care bill just recently. He ruled it as constitutional based on it's a tax. And the Congress has the right to tax. And he is the key person who made a ruling that brought health care to America. Well, I want to say it is time for the citizenship test.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
We finally made it back. Okay. Finally made it back. And everybody who wants to become a citizen, which I think everybody needs this test. I mean, we're learning as we go, but we're getting back reacquainted with the original tent of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 100 questions you have to answer. And to help us out to see what it's like, John and Pat has volunteered to be humiliated across the nations to be able to answer these questions. They have not looked at the answers.
Nope.
I don't know how John knew that it was multiple choice. But that's just between him and God and the throne of God.
And
I'll stop. What that means.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, I'm guilty as charged.
That's like Pat's what?
What?
I'll stop. That's the, isn't that the bank bag, the robbery bank bag? Anyway, so we got five questions here, and we get taken on five at a time. And what way it works is, you know, when you're ready to give your answer, you'll get time to think. When you get time to think about it, you'll hear. And that gives you time to think. But when you're ready to get the answer, you have to let me know that's your final answer. And at that particular point, we'll listen to what your answer is. And of course, if you get it right, you know, we will all celebrate. We will celebrate with you. Oh, there you go. And if you get it wrong, you will hear. The whole world will hear. So here we are.
No pressure. Get them right now.
No pressure at all.
You either.
The very first question today on the U.S. citizenship test goes to Pat. And it's actually question 41, but it's five today. So this is the first of the five today. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one power that belongs to the federal government? Read that again. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one of those powers that belongs to the federal government? Okay, here's the question. He's ready. The question is, under our Constitution, some powers, you're going to be surprised how limited these are.
Yeah, right.
Some powers belong to the federal government. And all you have to do, Pat, all you have to do is say, what is one of those powers that belong to the federal government?
B. No, I'm kidding.
That was a joke. That was an attempt to be funny.
Was it?
Yeah, it apparently didn't work. Yeah, would that be martial law?
How about steal? I get work on being.
All right, you want to steal? Go ahead, steal.
Raise taxes?
Yeah, they're actually doing it, right?
They're doing it.
Well, this is what the test says. There's four. They can only do four things. Provide healthcare. That's not it. To print money. To declare war. To create an army. And to make treaties. Isn't that amazing?
Mm. All right.
I think they've actually created a few more liberties. You know.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, by the way, in April the 2nd, 1917, is when President Woodrow Wilson asked Congress to declare war on Germany. April the 2nd, 2017. Hmm. Okay, next one. We're going to go to the next one. They're doing a lot more today than they were.
Yeah.
1917.
More. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they're doing a lot more than those four things. It's like, come on.
Yeah, right.
You know, to print money means. Oh, they are printing money. They are.
They are cranking out some bills.
As a matter of fact, they have the fastest printing machine in the West. And it's just printing money so fast that the money in our account is just like dwindling. And its value. To declare war, we don't call it war anymore. We just call like we're having a little disturbances.
Conflict.
And really shouldn't do that. Either it's war or it's not. And to create an army and to make treaties. Okay, John, here is your question on the U.S. citizenship test. And of course, we don't want you to have to self-deport.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. Number two for today. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? Under the Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? By the way, don't use Mayor Bloomberg as a guide. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question that's for you, John. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one of the states' powers?
Hmm.
I was at the thinking part was over.
Oh, come on.
Ready? Okay, here it is.
I'm gonna shoot out here on the left here.
Is that saying you're gonna fail before you start?
Probably.
Man of faith.
Soften the blow here. Can they create their own like a state militia, like a National Guard?
Of course, this is what's in the what it says in the Constitution. Here it is. Here's the answer. The answer is the state. Let me read the question one more time so we have it in the context. Under our Constitution, so that's what kind of helps you understand the question, is that this is what's written in the Constitution. Some powers belong to the states. What are one of those powers? Well, I'll tell you what's written in there. Provide schooling and education, which makes you wonder, why is the National Education Association in existence? Because that is a state. The Constitution says that is a state.
Mm.
That is a state power. Mm. Another one is to... this could be it. It's not a militia, but provide protection, which would be police, which is law enforcement. Provide safety, such as like the fire department and things such as that. To give driver's license.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And approve zoning and land use. I think our federal government's even getting involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get back to the original intent. Oh, my goodness. This is very helpful. We're really finding out how far off Congress, the executive, the judiciary, and the legislative branch is off the original intent. Okay, wow. John, here's the next question.
What?
A little humor. Okay, Pat.
I'm paying attention here.
You sure were. You look straight up.
I saw those eyebrows.
I know, right up under his hat. Okay, next question. Pat, here goes. What is, this is from the test for citizenship to America. What is the governor? What is the governor? I don't know what he is. No. Who is the governor of your state? All right, got it. The question is, who is the governor of your state?
That would be Rick Scott.
Yeah, actually, Rick Scott. Oh my goodness! Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just saw a picture of his wife Tracy with the governor when he stopped by to see where she works at, and then she spent some time shaking his hand and meeting him. I got a chance to meet him when he was running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, his hair gets in his eyes.
Yeah, yeah, kind of shaggy.
That's Florida, obviously. How about Jersey? I think we know who the Jersey is, right? He's the one that hugged the president into office. Gave him a big hug and a big kiss and got him 4 more years.
we know who he is. Well, he's gearing up for 2016. Chris Christie.
Is he really?
Oh. Okay, probably. Next question, John. Here's a question. What is the capital of your state? Great, that's quick. Wow. What is the capital of your state? Which is
Trenton, New Jersey.
All right. Woo! Very good. Trenton, New Jersey. I guess we can go ahead and ask.
That would be Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee.
Oh, wow, that was quick. You saw that.
Yeah, that is the city and the place of my birth.
Yeah.
In Leon County, Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, here we are. This is the last question. We're moving right along. John. What are the two major political parties in the...
Two more.
Very good. Pat. John. Another surprise. John, what are the two major eras? No, what are the two major political parties?
Oh, actually, it is mine.
Is it? Chain.
Wait, Chris is messing me up over there.
Get it together.
What was the last question? Governor?
Yes.
Capital of your
state. Was me. The capital of your state. No, you just asked for a second.
Oh, that's right. Threw me off.
Man, he's like you got up early or something today.
No, it was mine. I asked for Scott.
We got to follow us.
Okay.
Follow
all right.
us.
All right.
What is the capital of your state? Was the last question.
Yeah, it was Trenton. It was Trenton, New Jersey.
All right. Let's moving on.
Since we knew you knew it, we let you say what yours was. He's taking his coat off and he's getting hot. Okay.
Temperatures rising.
Pat, here you go. You can tell his ears are red. No, actually, they're black. Okay, there you go.
And his nose is twinkling.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. It's amazing. Okay, here you go. What are the two major political parties in the United States, Pat? What are the two major political parties in the United States? Okay, here he is. Your final answer, right?
Yeah.
What are the two major political parties in the United States?
That would be Republicans and Democrats.
Yay! What is the logo or the emblem where they put out for each party?
An elephant and a donkey.
Which one's which?
Elephants, the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Donkeys are the Democrats.
Right. The
is that right?
Yeah. But you know, we don't have to have just two political parties. And I really believe this is what's going to turn America around after we turn back to God. Is when we realize that we can have like the Labor Party, we can have the Conservative Party, we can have different parties. And I believe it was the first president of the United States, I believe, that said the two-party system will destroy this country. Because you can't fit everything into two parties.
Yeah, you're right.
And what happens is you have two parties heading in a direction and they find out when they're running for office, we got to start sucking in some new ideas, we got to take in those ideas. We can't, you know, it's like, no, what did you stand for when you began and why did you change? Because there's only a two-party system right now. We need several parties. And you'll find out it's going to be more appropriate for the country, I believe. Personally, I believe. There's a new party. Actually, it's been prophesied. Mm-hmm. I believe by Rick Joyner of Morningstar, the new political party will begin to develop and form. And I believe it's just going to be a founding father, conservative, Jesus is Lord party. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And that will be easy for people to be able to make a decision. Oh, my goodness. We've come to an end. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll be right back. I am so excited because we are going to have the citizenship test where John and Pat are going to find out if, in fact, they know the answers so they can stay in America. We're getting really close. We're not going to finish this for the end of the year, so you will be able to be in America in the beginning of the last part of 2012 and 2013. Can you imagine? Like, you know, I'm going to a different country. Which one? Not this one. That's all you really know, you know?
Yeah, right.
You're sitting in a cell with like 15 people and none of you speak the same language. Y'all know, hablo ese. Okay, so you're sitting here and you're fixing to be exported because you are not a citizen of America. Mm. Or you've come and you say you've got your visa or whatever and you're applying for citizenship. This is the test you have to take. You have to take this test, and if you pass this test as part of the, you know, the other things, you're able to become an American citizen. We're finding out that we couldn't pass the test.
That's right.
And we're learning. We're finding out, oh my goodness. It's like the people that are protesting about, you're taking the Ten Commandments out. This is ungodly. I can't believe you would do this. They're praying against the people. Like, and you pull a mic up to faces like, okay, can you name the Ten Commandments? Well, no, but I know that it's good. It's like, okay, well, can you talk about the Constitution? And they go, the Constitution. Oh, no, the content, like what's in it, like what the Bill of Rights or anything. Oh, Bill of Rights, I heard about that somewhere. What's Bill? I don't know what his last name is, but I know he's like, you know, we know. It's like, we're doing the same thing with God and with the country. And it's like, we got to get our things right with God and understand that, oh man, it's just powerful that all of our rights come from God. That's what we believe. That's our founding fathers, they believe, and we got to get back to that again. So you have a 100-question citizenship test, and we're asking them like 5 at a time. And John and Pat have been, you know, humble enough to say, could you please humiliate me before the whole world?
One more time.
I like that time when John goes, just give it up. Give up. And it's like, we don't know these things, do we? We don't know these things. It's not because, I found out why. Let me get this, you know,
to really help out. We want to know.
It's because you guys just don't know nothing. No. It's because by the time you're 20 years old, which for us was a long time ago, They say that you've already learned everything you can learn. Mm-hmm. And so to learn new things, you have to unlearn things you knew before. So it's like we knew this one time before we were 20, and it was like, oh, I had to unlearn that because I had to find out how to drive my
car. My hard drive was full.
Yeah, your hard drive was full. It's like, whoop, tilt.
I did this cleanup.
But you've already used all of your ability to remember by the time you're 20. It's like, listen, kids, don't waste your brain on video games. Don't use up all your, you have to unlearn all that to find out, like, how do I pay these bills? Is there a button for that?
Hard drive is crashing.
Yeah. And so that could be it. I don't know. But so here we are. We're relearning again. We're replacing other thoughts, things that we had, you know, which would be easy to do for me, not for you guys. And I've got room now to be able to take things in. I got lots of room to be able to take things in. If you get it right. You know, while you're thinking, by the way, give your time to think about, I'll ask you the question. And if you're listening right now at home and in your car, at work, whatever, you know, I'm going to give you time to think about the question. And then while you're thinking, of course, it's going to be, that's right. That means that's your thinking time. When you're ready to answer, let me know you're ready to answer. And it has to be your final answer. I mean, John likes to progress in answers. He also likes to steal. He likes to steal. He's like, can I? No, actually, you started, I think.
He started that bad habit, yeah.
That was so smooth, you know. I think I remember that. I remember that. Yep. He's like, I can't believe didn't get that. And it's like, the one before that, he's like, I don't know nothing.
Like, Who's the center again?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's your turn.
So then, of course, if you don't get it right, you know, of course, we're going to... That's exactly right. That's what it's going to be like. But of course, if you get it right, everybody's going to applaud you. We got five simple questions. Here's the first question. The first question is going to go to John. John, we need to think hard. Mm. Think very, very hard about this. Because I know that, you know, Pat says you always get the easy ones.
Oh, he does.
he's even has his door on his side. He
it's just
me,
a built-in.
Said it was easy. You got easy questions.
This is like a built-in DNA thing. It's like the default setting. You know what I'm saying? They call that talking trash, I think, on the basketball court, right?
You got a whole bunch of that.
It's amazing. It's like I never really believed that trash wasn't true. You know, I'm like, you're like, I can't believe you said that. It's like, no, this is trash. Like, I don't think that's a sin.
Yeah, you just throw it out.
You just throw it out. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like, oh my goodness. You don't think those bad thoughts about that person then? Okay, listen. 46. Obviously number one for today. On the test, John, this is going to you. Obviously, this proves that you don't get the hard ones. I mean, you don't get the easy ones. Here's the question. Question for today for you, John, is what is the political party of the president now? What is the political party of the president now?
Hey, come on.
Do you need more time? This your final answer?
I think I got this one.
Okay, here's the question. Let me get the question. The question is, Pat's going, man, he did get a difficult one. What is the political party? I tell you this, the glory's showing right now. If you missed the first hour, you know, we're in crap pots. Anyway, what is the political party of President Obama, the now president?
Democratic Party.
Hey, that's so good. Now, you didn't Google that, did you? You didn't Google that or nothing, did you?
No, Pat was like, what is that?
I know.
Democratic Party, Pat.
He has a lot more respect now because he realizes that you get difficult questions, too.
Hey, you know, fair is fair.
Fair is fair. And so here goes the question to Pat. This is the question. I'm not picking the questions. The questions are on this is the 100. He's looking like I'm drawing up the citizenship test for the United States of America.
Well, you're changing the order.
We're Christians.
Sure.
We're Christians. I like to give the hard ones to John.
Yeah.
And the easy ones to you. You're just so much more funnier when it's a difficult. He just has a big blank look across his head. He's like.
I'm seeing stars.
That means it ain't gonna happen. If he goes like this, it's like it's over with. Totally over. Yeah, right. Like this, John is like up here and then down here and up here. Here's the question. This is the question. Take your time. The next question for today goes to Pat Hamilton. What is the name of the Speaker of House of Representatives? What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives now? was quick. You guys are just moving right along.
Look at him.
He's saying the hard questions kind of come first in this test, didn't they? Because a lot of people probably left America like, there's no way I'll never get this. Like, you should have hung on. It's going to get easier.
Yeah, right.
So here's the question. This is the question for today. It's your final answer for you. The second one. What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives?
John Boehner.
Hey! No Dill Boehner.
Plan B.
It's like, I know, Plan B. We was just thinking about, we're not going to reverse this. And they're like, come on. And,
Plan B, not really, not really.
Yeah, I know. No, they like me. They were just thinking, no, they like me. They're not against me. It's like, did he just really say they like me? Anyway, we're not, you know, we're for Jesus.
Yeah.
John, question number next. Question number next. Mm-hmm. On the United States citizenship test done by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services so that you can actually live where you're living legally and get a Social Security number, is there are four amendments. There are four amendments to the Constitution. It's like, uh-oh. There are four. This might be yours, Pat. I don't know.
Nice, okay. John.
There are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them. There's four amendments to the Constitution of the United States telling us about who can vote. Describe just one of them. All right, John, here's the question. The question on the U.S. citizenship test is, there are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them.
The right of women to vote.
Hey, very good.
Wow.
Very good. And think about it, that's actually the last one. You named the very last one to come on because there's four of them. Because the first one was 18 years old or older, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the next one was, another one is, you don't have to pay to vote. That'd be something. It was a poll tax. Crazy. You had to pay money to, and they're trying to, you know. And the next one is any citizen can vote, woman or man. And the other fourth one is, all male citizens of any race can vote. So women were the last ones in America to be given the right to vote. So we're learning things, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting. That's called the suffrage movement and all mm-hmm. that was taking place. And so it's interesting. So somebody says, well, why is the Constitution important? That's a good reason why. There was a day somebody couldn't vote. Now everybody can vote. Let's just leave it like it is. So here we are. We are down to the question next. And I believe we're going to go to question number. Okay, we're on question four.
Four.
And this is going to you, John. What? No, I'm messing with you. Pat, this is going to you. Pat didn't say nothing, did he? He's going to let it go. Maybe it'll slide.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all, man. Here it is, the next question. On the U.S. citizenship test, what is one responsibility? What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens?
Can you repeat the question?
It's all the easy ones.
Yes, yes. Jeez. What is the political party of the... No, here it is. What is one responsibility, keyword, responsibility? You have a responsibility. This is something you have to do as a citizen. What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? Oh, here we go. This is your final answer, right?
Yeah.
Here's the question. What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens?
That's probably wrong, but obey the law. I only gave one answer.
Okay. It is,
Alex.
It is to serve on a jury and to vote in a federal election. It's a responsibility that many Americans don't even take that responsibility seriously. Okay. They don't even vote.
Well, I was thinking that you had to do it when you said responsibility. Well,
that would, yeah. Well, responsibility is that you need to.
You should.
Well, definitely. If you don't serve on jury duty, you can go to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, need is like, we need to actually, you don't vote, you know, because 33% of conservatives should have voted. Mm-hmm. But they say that they didn't vote and they don't vote and don't even know that they're not even registered to vote type of thing. And so we, as a responsibility, the people who take a test, they go, listen, I've got to get registered to vote and they call me for jury duty. I got to go. Mm-hmm. And people today is going like, how do I get out of jury duty? And it's like, do only the people who have intellect and wisdom, the ones that get out of jury duty and the other ones serve on juries? Like, hello, I want you on my jury. I want smart people on my jury who are going to think intellectually and prayerfully about this decision going on. Mm-hmm. And you look over there at the group in the jury, like, oh no, these are the ones that couldn't get out. And it's like, it's a responsibility. Right. It's our responsibility. I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, it's a great system. I mean, it's the best system in the world. But when you actually spend some time, I mean, it's amazing. You think, their fate, their future, everything about them, life in prison, 10 years, $20,000 fines, whatever, is going to be determined by these few people, $1 million fines, by these few people who, you know, and it's like, we got to take it more seriously. That's a responsibility for us to serve. It's a right. I mean, I think it's not a right. It's a responsibility. And so, I mean, take it as a privilege. You know, me coming from law enforcement, they don't like us to serve on jury duty still after all these years. And it's just exciting because you get to participate in the constitutional right of that citizen to stand in the gap for them where somebody's accusing them of something. Mm-hmm. And you get to hear, like King David would hear what was going on and he'd make a decision. Solomon would do that. Well, we do that. We get to hear, you know, and determine based on the law, is this person guilty or innocent? That's like huge. That's huge. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I would encourage you, if you get called for jury duty, show up. You know, and if one of your workers get called for jury duty, don't punish them for being responsible citizens. And by showing up, find a way to fill in the gap why they're doing jury duty at your workplace, because you're saving the country that your business is in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you complain that the country's gone, but you complain because your employees are going to jury duty, he's like, come on, that's their responsibility and yours as well. And many business owners get out of jury duty because they have a business. But you think about that. So important. If you're the one being tried, wouldn't you want somebody to be there with you that was caring about, you know, justice and how things turn out? Because it used to be this way. Somebody just said you was guilty. There was no jury and there was no constitution, you know, prior to ours in America. And they would just, you'd be gone.
That's right.
And today they got to carry the evidence and present it to you in your jury. And they have to prove your guilt. They have to prove your guilt because of the Constitution and because of the amendments to the Constitution. And if they can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it's criminal, then you are off. You're out of there. And they have to, it forces them not just to be an accuser, but they have to be a prover. They have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did do that crime. And if they can't do it, then you as a juror would say not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You would say not guilty. And that's what it needs to be, because the rule of law is based on, it's better to set two innocent men free than to send two guilty men free, than to send one innocent man to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the mentality today is like, send them all to jail. It's like, dude, they're not all guilty. You know, somebody just wanted to find somebody to pin this on because everybody's so upset right now and everybody's focusing on this one person and that's where their emotions are going, but we don't know yet.
Mm.
I heard it on CNN. Have you listened to CNN over a period of time? If they were talking about you, you wouldn't believe it. And so here we are. Here's the last question. The last question on the U.S. citizenship test today goes to John. Goes to John. Here it is, John. Name one right only for United States citizen. Name one right, not responsibility, is what we talked about earlier. This is right. Name one right only for United States citizen. Thank you. right, here we go. Here it is. The last question for today on the U.S. citizenship test is, John, name one right only for United States citizens.
Right to bear arms.
What?
How does it squat?
This is so important. It's just like, what rights do
Second
we have?
Second Amendment.
Well, I mean, it's not a, it's, but you know, if you're not mentally, what? If you're not meant, yeah.
Take not, that button away from me. Right. This is what the right to bear arms.
Well, it is a constitutional right if you're not a felon, if you are, right. But there are, you know, some things, but the test you have to take says these are the rights. Well, this is what's on the Constitution in regards to not the amendments but the Constitution, is we have the right to we have a right that's only due us and not due anybody else, is the right to vote in a federal election or to run for federal office. Yeah, it's so important. So many people complain about how things are, but they don't realize, you know what? Why don't you get you a few campaign signs, get you some brochures, and go out and start shaking hands and show us how to do it better. And if not, if you're not going to do that, get behind those who will, who stand up for what's right in this country, and don't sit there and just watch them and complain. Listen, you have the right. You can run for office. I mean, if you can run for office, you can do it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. If you are a citizen of the United States of America, you can run for office, and you can vote if you're 18 years or older in the election coming up every single year, the federal elections every 4 years. Well, that is the end of the U.S. citizenship test. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.